Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
Dylan.
What if you did? What if you lied? That was What If by Creed off of the Scream 3 soundtrack. What's up, Matt?
Hey, buddy. I just realized we weren't recording a backup file. Just got that going. So this is, I feel like I say this on a fairly regular basis, but this has got to be the biggest stretch that we've ever made for Christmas content.
Dylan wants to talk about
the new Scream movie.
I do.
And we needed to find a way to make sense. And the only thing we could come up with was that the original Scream was actually a Christmas release.
It was. So I want to apologize. Any of our listeners that genuinely come to us for just Christmas content, number one, thank you. It's a very weird choice because we rarely do cover just Christmas content. But thank you for listening. Number two, I'm sorry. I can guarantee this is definitely going to be an entertaining episode. Because yeah, I feel like both of us are really passionate about this series. But I basically, Matt messaged me and was like, hey, we need some topics for Tuesday. And I was like, dude, we need to talk Scream. And he's like, I don't know how the fuck we can do that. And I'm like, okay. In my head, I didn't say this to Matt, but in my head I went, it's our fucking podcast. We can talk about anything we fucking want to. But number two, Scream 1 opened up December 20th, 1996, and Scream 2 opened December 12th, 1997. So it's so funny to me because the way these movies are shot, especially the first one, they always feel like Halloween movies to me.
Yeah.
Just the pictures of the trees and stuff like that. But the first two movies were Christmas releases.
Which is so weird. Such a weird decision. Because they should have been a summer release, honestly. Like, would make
100%.
Sense. December makes zero sense for this.
Zero sense. And I was really worried about the fifth one because it got the January dump.
The death slot. The we don't have any faith in this movie spot is what it got.
Before we get too far, if you haven't seen Scream 1 through 5, go watch them because I don't know about Matt, but I'm going to spoil the shit out of all five of these movies.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to keep this reasonable because you know what's the only other thing deader than half the cast of Scream? Our downloads in the month of January. So.
Oh, yeah, that's unfortunate. But I was going to say...
I thought you were going to say horror
podcasts.
So. No. Yeah, those two. But no, it's January is a real rough time, apparently, for the Christmas podcast world.
That's why we're going to talk Scream, man, and bring them all back. Yeah. So if you want topical conversation about the current movie releases a week later... come to Christmas 365.
That's what we're here for. All right, so you and I already had a bit of a chat about
the
movie. I mean, we both like it. We both had the same, like, I wouldn't even say complaints, but sarcastic thoughts. I would describe it as.
I had my own issues with the movie, but I adored it. I originally was going to go see it again yesterday. It didn't end up happening. basically because I sat down, I was like, it's 2021. This movie is going to be on TV next month.
It's 2022 now, baby.
Or sorry, it's 2022. The movie is going to be on TV next month. What the fuck's the point? And me going back to the theater. But it was nice to experience another Scream film in theaters. I always get a rush seeing them. I saw Scream 4 at a midnight release. And surprisingly, a decently packed crowd. I hear other people's stories of doing the same thing and it being empty. But
yeah, mine was empty, but I actively chose for it to be that way. I was like, all right, let me go to the earliest Saturday morning screening that I can find, so that there are as few people around me as possible during these trying Rona times.
That was the original plan until my like Scream fandom said, no, dude, everybody is posting about it Thursday night. I don't know how these people go to Thursday movies, dude. I can't fucking do it.
I can't do that shit. you were even one of those people where you didn't post anything that was spoilery, but it was like by like midday Friday, I was like, I cannot be on social media because I don't want to know if people are even liking the movie or not. Like, I want to go as like I saw you post like rankings and like someone else was like, Scream 5, go see it. I'm like, no, I don't need to know anything.
Even if it sucks.
It's like, I don't need that high expectation.
All right, so before we jump right into Scream 5, Scream, the whole series holds a special place in my heart. For those of you that don't know, I am a recovering juggalo.
Mm-hmm.
That fandom was brought on by Scream 2. There's a Cottonmouth King song halfway through that movie during Randy's death. And Cottonmouth Kings directly relates to ICP. Like, they tour together, they hung out all the time. So that was my introduction to an entire subculture. Honestly, one day I think it was a Suncoast, actually, and I saw the complete DVD set, and I was like, huh. I looked at my mom. I was like, would I like these? Because I was always a horror kid, and I had never seen them. And this was like 2004, maybe?
All right, so it was the trilogy pack then.
I'm 12 at that point. So, I know, old ass. So, I was like, would I like these? And she's like, yeah, I think you'd really enjoy them. So, I got them, watched them all, watched two like a billion times. I loved one and three, but two at that age was like, that's the one. That was the one that I watched fucking constantly.
So here's the thing. Scream holds a special place in my heart
because you saw them all in theaters, you old ass.
No, I didn't. Scream 4 was the first one I saw in theaters.
Really?
But Scream was the first movie to make me decide I was a horror movie fan.
Hell yeah.
So it kind of goes like, I would dabble in horror, but I was like afraid to watch horror simultaneously.
I get
so
that. Like, I think same thing here.
Yeah. Like you're
was,
like, you would look at the box
scared
art.
Little kid,
yeah. Like I would look at the box art. I would rent. If I rented a horror movie, it was always a PG-13 horror movie.
Yep.
Like I always kept it safe. I didn't want to see gross stuff. I didn't want to see blood. If I did watch a horror movie that was R rated, it would be something that was so outlandish that I couldn't possibly take it as real. So it'd be like alligator, about like a giant alligator. You know what I mean? Like,
you're super psyched for that Shout Factory release.
Dude, I'm so excited. but that is like one of the early, like before I was a horror movie fan, I did watch Alligator all the time. But I was also a huge Michael J. Fox fan, and Frighteners came out. And I was I really want to see this movie. I'm going to push myself through it because ghosts are scary, but it's Michael J. Fox, so it's got to be safe. And I like watched this Michael J. Fox movie and I loved it. And I started showing it to my cousin who was like a hardcore horror fan. And he was like, if you can watch this, I think you could watch Scream. And he like,
Frighteners has some darker elements. And dare I say, some of those moments are scarier than a lot of the stuff in Scream.
Well, and honestly, I think that like, honestly, you remove the opening scene of Scream and even the gore level is about the first Scream movie is fairly tame, all things
it's
considered.
It's so funny you say that because I think that was another thing when I was 12 years old. When I would watch the original, I would skip over that opening scene because the image of Casey gutted on the tree fucked me up. Like, I mean, that freaked me out. So I would always skip right to Sydney on the computer.
So the funny thing with this was that I watched Scream. The first day that I watched Scream, I was having a sleepover at my cousin's house.
Yeah.
So it was me, him, and his two sisters. And they were like obsessed with Scream at this point. The VHS had come out and they were just watching it constantly. And I literally watched it twice in a row. Because he was like, all right, close your eyes. I'm going to tell you when to close your eyes. There's like one part that I don't think you could handle. And it was when like the boyfriend's out on the front deck with the guts hanging out.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, Matt, close your eyes. And I like close my eyes. Scene happens. He's like, all right, you're cool to open them. And I watched the rest of the movie. And then when the movie was over, I'm like, can we watch it again? I want to see the part that you made me close my eyes for.
Hell yeah.
Like, so like, I was when like, you let's do this. Like, and that was like, it. That was
what you imagined in your head way worse than what was on the screen.
A little bit, yeah. But it was like, that was it. After that, I was like, I am off to the races. I was like, I need to watch Halloween. Yeah. I need to watch all the Friday the 13th movies. Fuck, I need to check out Freddy Krueger.
That's
like,
so funny, because that's the same thing. Same here, man. Like, this was the movie that made me realize I was a horror fan. And this...
And that's...
The Scream franchise and Evil Dead franchise are the two, like, my two favorite horror movie franchises.
Well, and I think that's what makes me love this new one, is that there are so many points where there are these monologues of, it's like, Scream isn't just a movie to some people. It is, like, such an important nugget of a memory of, like, watching with family or, like, watching with friends. And it's like, yeah, Scream became that movie where I think I probably watched that summer... The summer of 96, or I guess, no, it would have been the summer of 97. The summer of 97, I probably watched that movie daily for 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, memorized it, knew every line, like, knew every little piece of it. And I was so upset because I was way too young to see part two. And I was like 14 when part two came out. So I couldn't see that in theaters. So I had to eagerly wait for the DVD to come out, or the VHS. It wasn't even DVD back then.
Yeah.
Wait for the VHS to come out. Everyone had spoiled that Randy had died for me, which was like devastating, but I was kind of glad that I knew that it was going to happen before I watched it.
Yeah.
And then I remember I rented it for a sleepover, and like it was me and some friends, and we watched it, and we kind of hated it at the time. Like,
what?
I did not like Scream 2. Mm. I was actually in the camp. Here's the crazy part. When Scream 3 came
out. Don't you fucking do it.
When Scream 3 originally came out, I was like, man, what a breath of fresh air from that mess that was Scream 2.
Gross.
Now,
I quit.
Now, hold on a second. That was also the mindset of a 15-year-old kid who just was like, yo, that explosion scene was cool. Oh, shit, it's my boys Jay and Silent Bob popping up.
Yeah, like, that's funny.
Like,
that's
funny. Like, there was enough stuff for, like, the eighth grader going into ninth grade to be like, yo, this is fucking awesome. You know what I mean? Like, but
so, yeah.
But yeah, then like
you start
then like enough time passes and you're like, this kind of sucks, and Scream 2 actually kind of rips.
Yeah.
And then like Scream 4 was the first one I saw in theaters, which was it was exciting in its own right for that. And Scream 4 is a very, very funny mess of a movie.
Yeah.
And I talked about this on Horror Movie Night. I'll talk about it again, but we had the director of You Must Be the Killer on the podcast, and he came on the podcast to do our episode on Scream 3 with us, because if you've ever seen You Must Be the Killer, it's very meta in the same way that Scream is meta. So it felt
great
like
movie.
Oh, amazing movie. It felt like a perfect, like, oh, this is a total layup. Like, of course he should be on to talk about Scream 3. And he told us something that I've never found any other report of, but he swears that he had a conversation with Kevin Williams at one point about Scream 4.
Yeah.
And he told Kevin that he was like, you know, I really like Scream 4, but I hate the ending. When I watched the movie, I kind of wish that Sydney had died. I wish that it had he's like, I wish that it had killed her and that her cousin got away with it. And Kevin told him that's how it was written. And the studio wouldn't allow it. They're like, you cannot kill Sydney Prescott.
I can't blame him.
Yeah.
Either.
But he said that his plan, because they were signed on to do like a Scream 4, 5, and 6.
Yep.
His plan was that part 5 was going to essentially merge like Scream with I Know What You Did Last Summer, because it was going to be Sydney's cousin having gotten away with all of this, being the first person in the franchise to succeed with their plan.
Come back for the sequel.
Well, yeah. And then a copycat killer starts killing people and sending her notes that they know that she's the person
who did the
first one. And it would have been her trying to find the killer so that they don't, you know, reveal her her past. And I'm like, that would have been a fucking dope movie.
Fucking awesome.
But you know what? I don't think it would have been as good as the fucking movie that we got this week.
No, so I used to come home from school every day, and I think I talked to you about this privately before. I used to come home from school and put on the Stew party scene. Like, yeah. I would start, because that scene, that stuff
that whole scene
like
is
an
phenomenal.
Hour long. Like, yeah. Like it's like an hour of them just having the party. And I would come home from school, put that scene on, let it play through, and then put Scream 2 in. Like,
all right.
It's so weird, because, like, again, now... I would never do that. The first Scream, everything's kind of a masterpiece. I love them.
Scream, the first Scream is one of the, like, it's almost boring. I think we've talked about this before, but it's almost boring how tied to, like, our habits we are on certain days.
Yeah.
And, like, Scream is one of those, like, if it's Halloween day, it's probably one of the movies I'm going to watch that day.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, I think about it, I'm like, I think the last three Halloweens, without fail, I have watched the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Scream, Idle Hands,
nice.
And Halloween H2O. Like, those are, like...
Oh, perfect.
My four, like, every... And now Coco. Coco's been at it to the mix of, like...
Good.
I kick off the day with good vibes with Coco and then just get horrific for the rest
of it. Yeah, and then you end on Texas Chainsaw because it's the most nihilist of the...
Well, a little bit. I get to Texas Chainsaw right around 5 o'clock when it's trick-or-treat time.
There you go.
And then I switch over to, like... Abbott and like usually that's like where it gets wild, where it's like, oh, here's Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Perfect.
Or Med Monster part. But yeah, like that movie is a flawless.
Yeah.
I won't say it's flawless. There are things that bother me in Scream. Point number one, Ghostface in the grocery store. Drives
me
crazy.
Yeah, that was stupid. I just treat Ghostface in the grocery store as almost, I think it's just another prankster. The same thing with like the guy running through the school. But that aside, yes, I agree. I have issues with that. I have issues with Ghostface in the bathroom of the school.
See, so I don't mind the bathroom of the school, and I'll explain why. Here's my problem with Ghostface in the grocery store and Ghostface in the woods. This is going to be a long ass episode. I have concluded through multiple watches.
Yeah.
And there's no evidence for this. But I've concluded that Ghostface in the bathroom is 100% a kid pulling a prank. And I actually believe that it is the kids that Fonzie is yelling at in his office like two scenes later.
Oh, okay. I thought he was yelling at them before.
Who knows? Maybe. I don't remember.
Maybe.
But it's all
regardless,
it's out of order.
They could have yelled at them before, and they're like, fuck it, we're going to go ham. We're actually going to stab this bitch.
Well, they don't have a knife. That's the reason why I think it's a prank.
Yeah,
they don't have anything
true.
In their hand.
That's true.
But so, I think that I'm almost done, I swear.
Okay.
I think that the grocery store and Ghostface in the Woods, I would be okay with those scenes if Sydney actually saw it. You know what I mean? Like, if Sydney looked and saw Ghostface and then turned around and there was nothing there, I'd be like, perfect. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
She's like seeing shit. But the idea that there is a murderer on the loose dressing like Ghostface and a dude is in the grocery store dressed like that, a crowded grocery store, stalking the number one victim, and no one does anything. No one's like, yo, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Insanity. Sorry, I'm done.
You're fine.
I'm moving away from my microphone.
I'm like legit just trying to give my history with Scream, and every time I talk about one thing, you're like, here's my fucking issues with this movie, which is crazy because usually that's me. Usually these roles are reversed. Usually I'm like, God, this shit you made me watch, man. Oh, I'm just kidding. But we both love it so much. So I would come home, watch that scene, and then throw Scream 2 in. And like that opening, the D'Angelo song, she's always in my head.
The guitar is great in that song.
Fucking opening. Jada Pinkett is amazing. That's such a haunt. It's such a haunting opening, especially when she's dying in front of the screen. It's just such an incredible franchise. I will argue that the Killers have not surpassed Billy and Stu. I still think Billy and Stu are my favorites. I have other Killers that I like. I love Mickey just fucking losing it in Scream 2.
I think that what I like about all of these movies is that Billy and Stu set such a precedent for this is how the person who dresses like Ghostface acts once they've been unmasked. And it's never been better than this newest movie. Like the killers in this new movie, again, we're not going to say anything just yet. We'll give you the we're about to talk about part five. Like if you've hung out this far, you're still in the clear, but like it's going to get rocky soon. But like those two actors are just channeling an incredible level of insanity.
Yeah.
And that's what it needs to be.
It did. It needed that. So my big issue, I love two. It's not a flawless movie, but I really do love two. My issue with three is the ending.
I was going to say the whole movie.
Don't know. I honestly, I was just making a joke the other day. I like the soundtrack has grown on me. Even though I know like it's not phenomenal. It's not a great soundtrack.
I mean, it's no Scream 2 soundtrack, which is the best of the
soundtrack.
It is the best of the soundtracks. I will die on that hill because the first movie, you get the Bird Brain song and like two other
Bird Brain and Nick Cave.
And that's it. That soundtrack falls to shit after track four.
I don't know if this was on the soundtrack, but that acoustic cover of Don't Fear the Reaper.
It's a perfectly fine cover, but like, there is some weird shit on there. Like, there's like a 7-minute long Moby track in the middle of that fucking soundtrack.
Yeah.
and a terrible cover of School's Out. Like, I don't understand how they got the rights to the Alice Cooper one for the movie. And then the soundtrack comes out and it's this jazzy, like, no more pencils, no more books.
Well, what's nice is like, having things like Apple Music and Spotify as people have made their own versions of the soundtracks and put the actual ones on there, which is really nice. Scream 2 definitely has the best soundtrack. I like Scream 3 soundtrack because it literally takes you back to 2000. Like it's Godsmack.
It's a time
and
machine.
Creed and Power Man 5000. Like it's so good. I love Scream 3 for the parts that you were saying. Like when I first saw that movie, I was like, fucking Jay and Silent Bob's in this movie. Holy shit. Oh my God. That's Princess Leia. That's cool. The ticks in this movie. Like, so I had these things that I enjoyed. I don't know how anybody can like that ending. Like I hate the retconning of, all right, this dude gave Billy the idea. I fucking hate that.
But see, here's where it's not okay. I'll never pretend that it's okay.
Yeah.
But what helps me swallow the pill that is Scream 3 is knowing that Kevin Williamson had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, this is like just barely a legitimate sequel to this movie.
Hear how you could have fixed that. The only, like, you could have fixed that by saying, what's his name? What is his fucking, what is the killer's name in Scream 3?
Roman.
Okay. You have Roman find out about, like, Maureen's death or whatever. Then have him, like, kind of plot his revenge. Don't, I hate the idea because I feel like Billy would, I'll say Billy is one of, I don't want to say perfect, because perfect is a very strong word. I think Billy is a very well-written character for who he is. And I like the idea that, yes, Billy is a psychopath, but he's a smart psychopath.
So,
and I don't like the idea that Roman's the reason this whole thing kicked off. This character that we knew nothing about this entire time is the reason everything's happening. I hate that shit. It's okay in a movie series like Saw, where this is all fucking bad shit anyway. Like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
But for Scream, where, again, we talk about what they talked about in Scream 5, a movie series that is very near and dear to a lot of our hearts, and they're like, oh, this random fucking guy, hey, it's Sydney's brother, which I'm still okay with, but hey, it's Sydney's brother who went to hang out in Woodsboro for fucking 2 days to tell Billy to kill Maureen.
Yeah, it makes and zero sense. Also, I just saw this note. I was hopping onto the wiki page because I wanted to remind myself what was on the Scream 3 soundtrack, because I remember it was acceptable, but that's about it. And I just saw this note that I never knew, but it totally makes sense. That in the director's commentary for Scream 3, Angelina is revealed to have been the second killer.
Yep.
The scene revealing her survival and everything had been cut. Wes Craven elaborated that an earlier scene in the film where Sydney came across Angelina wearing the ghost face gear in her dressing room, which she passes off as still wearing due to just having come off the set, with Sydney unknowingly actually having caught her in the act of changing into the gear. Craven further left it ambiguous on whether she had genuinely been betrayed or murdered by her partner after wandering off to change, or whether she was still alive. In the Scream Trilogy box set booklet written by Craven, Angelina is listed among the characters still alive after the third film.
Yeah. Yep.
Good old Emily Mortimer. Look at her.
Yeah. Do you know how Scream 3 was supposed to end?
I know that there was like 14 different endings to that movie.
So one of the ones that's been brought up recently before Scream 5 came out, funny enough, is that it was fans of the Stab series that orchestrated everything.
Oh.
And they were going to go very April Fool's Day with it. And no one had actually died.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was just a bunch of fans trying to come together and reinvigorate the franchise, which is, I feel like, very telling with where we went with part 5. Again, not giving too much away. So we go from Scream 3 and 11 years pass and we get Scream 4, which for some reason, I brought this up the other day, was shot as if there was Vaseline covering the lens. Do you... Like, what the fuck, man? Like, I don't understand it, because as much as people hate on My Soul to Take, there was nothing weird. Like, there's a lot weird with that movie.
Yeah.
There's nothing weird with the way it was shot. Like, this movie literally looks like there's some form of glossy film over the lens. Watch Scream 4 again if you don't know what I'm talking about.
All right.
But it looks different than every other movie that was made.
Well, I think the other, there's a whole lot of I like Scream 4 a lot for a really long Scream time. 4 too. For a really long time, I said that it was as good, if not slightly better, than Part 2. Like, I thought that it was a really good movie. But I think that Scream 4 made a mistake that Scream 5 did a much better job of, which was like, Scream 4 was trying I felt like Scream 4 was really trying hard to, like, quote unquote, bring Scream to a whole new generation.
Yeah.
Where Scream 5 feels more like when I saw, say, American Reunion, right? Like, okay, American Reunion is 100% a movie that you need to have seen the other American Pie movies to appreciate. So it was made for the people who grew up on those movies and possibly younger kids who may have seen those movies through their older siblings or parents.
Yeah.
Like, it was not like, let's really aim for this teen demographic. Like, and I feel like this movie did a much better job of paying service to the long-term fans and doing so in a way, I'll say about right now is where, if you haven't seen Scream 5, I'm pretty sure we're getting to the point of no return.
Yeah, we're getting close. We're getting close enough.
But Scream 5 did things in such a way that, I don't know about you, I had an argument with someone about this, but if they do a Scream 6 and there is none of the original Scream cast left in it, but they bring back the survivors of this movie, I'm okay with that. They crafted characters that I care about. They've given them their kind of their own unique storylines. And it's just like, I don't need to see, like, I don't know. Like, maybe Halloween Kills kind of tainted this for me, but I'm kind of past the point where I want to watch a bunch of 60-year-old women do a better job at fighting a killer than a teenager. Like, but here's the thing. The other thing is, I'm seeing the sad listeners. Dylan's not doing a good job emoting his feelings. He's just giving me visual cues. But
I'm not angry because I can't. I'm not arguing with what you're saying. I'm sad about it.
You're and sad like, because I'm so, right, because I just want these two people to be happy and not have to continue dealing with this bullshit.
I get it. So, so my biggest issue with Scream 4, with watching Scream 4 recently, is some of the stuff is so forced. Like there's a line that the Culkin kid says. I can't remember his name in the movie. He's one of the killers. Come on, like Jill's the only one that everybody remembers.
Dylan was very invested in his character.
I mean, he's a good character. I do like his like weird interactions with Kirby, which was another thing that we found out in Scream 5, which we'll get to. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, you caught that. Yep.
But like there's a line where he's talking about liking Kirby and his friend walks away and he goes, yeah, as if, right, dick? And it's like, it's a moment where Scream 4 is like, do you remember that part of Scream 1? Do you remember when Matthew Lillard said as if to Jamie Kennedy? Do you remember that? Like, Scream 4 felt very much like you said, hey, Scream's back. And if you really like Scream, you'll really like this movie. Where I feel like what you said with Scream 5, Scream 5 has been like, hey, we made another fucking Scream movie. Franchise is back, but guess what? Like, we're not focusing on these characters anymore.
Like, I want to throw out one more. I want to throw out one more thing, just because I keep I keep jumping on wiki pages and then finding out shit that I didn't know. So I clicked into the Scream 4 thing, to remind myself exactly who played Kirby, and also to try to figure out Rory Culkin playing Charlie Walker.
But he's not as cool as the Culkin that played Wallace in Scott Pilgrim.
100% fact. But I saw this little fucking tidbit.
Like,
Matthew Lillard has an uncredited cameo appearance at the Stabathon party after previously portraying Stu in Scream and making a similar uncredited cameo at a sorority house party in Scream 2.
Yeah, I knew that one.
He revealed in 2009 that Stu was originally intended to be revealed as the killer in Scream 3, having survived his apparent death in Scream, retroactively making his Scream 2 and Scream 4 characters also Stu.
So,
however, this plot was abandoned and the script rewritten without Stu following the Columbine massacre.
Yeah. So one of the things that was a rumor going around for a while, like every movie they were like, I bet Stu's coming back,
which is so crazy.
The fucking dumbest thing ever. Somebody even, they made like fan trailers for Scream 5 where they put Matthew Lillard in them, and
like,
I'm like,
burned up,
bro.
Yeah.
This isn't a fucking flat screen. Like, dude got crushed by like a 200 pound television,
so,
and it smashed, electrocuted him.
All right, so let me
talk
about...
And he was stabbed like 10 times!
I know you're getting upset. I want to talk to you...
I'm sorry. The Matthew
I want to talk
Lillard
to you about my
so
crazy... So look.
I love Matthew Lillard, by the way.
The Stu survived everything is one of the craziest fan theories out there.
If you bring up the Tatum shit, I don't want to talk about
we're
it.
We're going to talk
you're
about...
You're so wrong!
I have,
it's not true!
I have zero evidence for this. No one has ever defended this belief. I know
Except
I'm wrong.
Except him. Except... Matt Kelly.
It's my own theory. That's why.
It's an awful theory. It doesn't make any sense.
I have a theory that Tatum may have been in on the killings Scream movie.
Because, that doesn't make any sense.
Because she acts as Stu's alibi in the beginning. She goes, Stu is with me all night. She doesn't say where they were at. She could have been at Casey's house, too.
Well, I mean, Randy brings that up. Was that before or after he sliced and diced?
Let me continue. Number two. Tatum is the last person to speak to Sydney before Ghostface originally makes his attack on her in her own home. Then, when Sydney's staying at Tatum's house, who calls? Ghostface. It's almost like someone is strategically letting Ghostface know when Sydney is in her most vulnerable spot so that they can work out their entire plan. Just saying, they need a person on the inside who has a connection with the police department to know what the police department's doing. Oh, who's Tatum's brother? Oh, the doofy deputy?
Okay, but like...
Hold on a second, I'm not done. Number three.
These are, hold on. Before you get to number three, these are all things that can simply be explained as Stu's her boyfriend.
Yes. Like, no, we'll continue.
Okay. All right.
Step number three also, even though it makes legitimately zero sense for Sydney to go to this party, Tatum is like, you've got to go to this party. You've got to be at this party where you can very easily get lost in the crowd and disappear.
What's her other option? To stay home by herself?
No, that Tatum goes, I'm not going to go to this party. You and I are going to hang out. That's what a friend and not a killer would do.
I don't think so. Because if you're, hold on, put yourself in Tatum's shoes. Do you want to be sitting alone with the woman that's being attacked multiple times? Exactly.
All so convenient.
He just shrugged.
And theory number four. Here we go. Theory number four. In the garage.
She says Randy.
In the garage, she's not even remotely upset that there's someone dressed as Ghostface. Why? Because she knows that her boyfriend's Ghostface, and she's like, he would never hurt me. I'm in on the plan. But Billy and Stu were like, ooh, three's too many. She's a blabbermouth. We gotta get rid of her. Okay, so here's the thing.
I legit think that Tatum is just an airhead, and
that's like, probably true. Here's the thing:
she sees herself as untouchable. So
all I'm gonna say is, yeah. All I'm gonna say is, I'm aware that I'm crazy. I'm aware that this is not true. Okay. But
it's a fun theory.
Next time that you watch Scream, just watch it with that in mind.
I won't.
And there's it's
listeners
it's
do it. I'm not going.
It's entertaining how many things you're like. That is what a killer would do. Tatum knows something. This is also coming from the person who I think I told you and I posted on the internet that every fucking character that showed up on the screen, I'm like, they did it. They were on
Scream.
It.
Yep. So what you're saying is the main issues I have with Roman, like being like, hey, I was around for the first one. Is like there's no actual evidence that shows that you were anywhere near Woodsboro for the first movie.
No, not at all. Not even a little bit.
We got to get back to Scream 4 because for the love of God, we got to talk Scream 5.
Okay.
So Scream 4, I like Scream 4. A lot of the stuff seems forced. I like it once it gets to Kirby's house. Justice for Kirby. I think the Stabathon idea is fucking amazing. I would love to do a Stabathon in a fucking wooded barn or whatever. That'd be really fun. I think
I'd even do a Screamathon in a post-COVID world where it's like, hey, we're just going to load up in a house and we're just going to fucking knock out every Scream movie.
Yeah.
Start at noon and go until, however long it takes. I guess that would be 10 hours, noon to 10. Yeah.
I love, and I posted about this, I love the idea of, fuck it, this movie ends as Jill is being wheeled out from the house, on the stretcher. I love that idea, but I do love that fucking cheesy ass don't fuck with the original line.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great line.
I love that fucking line.
You don't know what I'm referring to because you still haven't seen this damn movie, but I love that the last 10 minutes of Scream 4 is just the ending of Dr. Giggles all over again.
Oh, yeah.
When you watch Dr. Giggles, because eventually it's going to happen, you're going to be here and I'm going to make you watch Dr. Giggles.
Fuck yeah.
But you're going
to
be like...
Hey, the 28th. You need to watch it.
You're going
to
be like, holy fucking shit. Scream 4 ripped off the ending of Dr. Giggles.
It is such a strange... I wish they could have done that anywhere but a hospital. I didn't need it in a hospital. I understand why we're in the hospital. It's so funny watching these movies with Teddy because she's seen some of them, but not all of them. And she hadn't seen Scream 4. And as soon as Jill goes, we should write it with our matching wounds. Teddy leans over and goes, this bitch, she doesn't know Gail got stabbed in the shoulder. Gail looks at Dewey and goes, how's she know I got stabbed in the shoulder? I love fucking Dewey's look. Oh, fuck. And runs down the corner. I love Scream 4. It is up there with Scream 2 to me.
It's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie.
The opening, the like stab 6, so, 7, it, 8, yeah. So fucking good. So funny.
Good.
So
good. So the way
smart.
They did that.
But yeah, so let's get into it. All right, for real now, if you haven't seen part 5.
If you have
five,
not seen Scream 5, turn this shit off and go. And what are you doing? Go see Scream 5. Unless you are immunocompromised, then stay home and wait for it to hit your TV. But see Scream 5 as soon as it comes out. It's really good, guys. That's our review.
Each week on the One Hit Thunder podcast, we welcome a special guest to come take a deep dive into a one-hit wonder artist with us. And together, we decide if that artist brought the one-hit thunder or was nothing more than a one-hit blunder. You can find One Hit Thunder anywhere that you listen to podcasts, so hit that subscribe button and join in on the fun each week.
It's really fucking good.
It's really good. It's a fun time.
It's a fun watch.
Great performances. Yeah. All right. So what do we want to talk about with Scream 5? Because I feel like there's so much I want to say, but there's also like not that much that I want to say at its core.
So I have like a checklist in my head, and we'll see where we go. And I'll say something, and you'll be like, oh, so this fucking thing.
No, I think I got that out of my system. I think I got.
It's so funny because I'm going to sound like an ass because people are going to be like, you didn't think that. On the way to the theater, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if the opening victim was in the whole movie? If they didn't die. Because I hadn't seen any trailers.
Yeah, I watched
I didn't watch any trailers, but I was like, what if this character was in the whole thing? And that's the way they went with it. I kind of liked that. Although I also was like, what fucking star did they get to kill in the first opening scene?
Yeah.
I like that part too. As soon as she answers the phone and Roger Jackson starts talking, tears.
Yeah. I didn't have that. But there's some parts where I cried.
But I definitely teared up. Definitely teared up.
But like, so similarly, I think I told you that I was talking to my brother maybe an hour before I left for the theater.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you know, I know that they're not going to do it, but I feel like it's about time they kill one of the three original survivors, because like, this is getting absurd that these three people are all like coming out of this okay. But I literally was like, they'll never do that. Like I thought like these three characters are fucking untouchable. And then like, as much as it killed me, let me reword that. As much as it gutted me to see Dewey die, I was like, this is right. This is right. This is how it, but then I was like, see what it did that was brilliant was that the rest of the movie, I'm like, yo, are they going to fucking kill Gale and Sydney? Because like, there were many times where I was like, I could see them killing one more of them.
So I went, we're going to bounce back just a tiny bit. My biggest issue with how I approached Scream 4 was I read everything. If news came out for Scream 4, I fucking read it.
Oh, I didn't.
I wish I wouldn't have, but I was so invested that like, I need to know. I need to know what's going to happen. That I went into Scream 4 knowing who the killers were. And the rumors that they were going to kill Dewey started with Scream 4.
Yeah.
Everybody thought Dewey was going to die. So I went into Scream 5 like, Dewey's dead. I'm like, Dewey's dead.
Yeah, I mean, the second that you see him, it's like, oh, this is,
yeah,
this is one of those, this is the reveal that you give to the character that you know is gonna die, but he's gonna die a hero. Like,
and the way they did it was so good. So we're in the hospital with one of the main characters, who was the original person attacked, and basically the killer is there again attacking them, and basically her sister, Dewey, and this other person show up, and they come through, and basically they get in there and they save her, and they knock Ghostface out, and then they all walk to the elevator. And I'm sitting there like, I'm like, Dewey's going to fucking die. And then they walk to the elevator. I'm like, all right, whew, cool. Yeah. We're free. And Dewey just stops and goes, like, I don't remember his exact line, but basically it equivalates to, I need to fucking end this.
Yeah.
And hits the button and sends them down. And I audibly in the theater went, no! Because I knew it. I knew that was coming. And it's like slow-mo Dewey walk into the to fucking Ghostface. And Dewey gets such a brutal death. Like, I mean, stabbed in the chest, stabbed in the back where his old stab wound is. And then the killer takes the knives and rips up. Yeah. And, like, basically guts Dewey where he stands and just whispers in his ear, "It's been an honor."
Yeah.
Fuck, this movie's good.
Yeah.
This, so let's talk about that. Ghostface is fucking brutal.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. When just the very first attack,
yeah,
I was like, holy fuck. Like, yeah, like it is like uncomfortable, that attack scene.
So if for those of you, like, if you watched Scream 4, the Olivia death, the one in the bedroom, basically if you took that death and made it every single person in this movie, where there is just blood everywhere and everyone that died was stabbed like 35 times, that's basically all of the deaths in Scream 5. They are absolutely brutal. Absolutely yeah. brutal. These, I love the characters. I thought it was kind of cool that we got that, I can't remember his name, the dude with the stash and the mullet.
Oh, who was there for
like the scene. Kyle Gullner?
I think so. The one who's supposed to be like tied to Stu in some way, right?
Yeah, I think so. Who, I love that he's probably the most famous of the newer cast. I loved his death. The fact that Red Right Hand played on the radio.
Yeah.
As he was getting murdered. First of all, props to bringing Nick Cave back, because we didn't get that shit in Scream 4.
Yeah, ridiculous.
That didn't make any sense. Shout out to the Ready or Not guys, Radio Silence.
So good.
The people behind this movie. I've been watching those dudes since the Chad, Matt, and Rob skits on YouTube. So it's amazing to see how far they have come. Like, the fact that I've been watching these guys grow since 2008 is absolutely insane to me. And the one guy, Matt, is the guitarist for Link 80.
Yep. So, I just found that out a couple months, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, like that's blew my absolutely mind. Insane to me. So the fact that these people that you can tell are fans got to kind of take over the helm for Wes Craven, because it's one of those series that you're like, this series can't exist without Wes. And they did an absolute amazing job. What'd you think of the ending?
Which part? I mean, okay. In general, I liked it, but
so let's first talk about our new characters. Okay. Cause I see that, like, I've seen on Twitter that specifically Melissa, Barrera, I think is how you pronounce her last name. The main character, Sam, is getting a lot of hate. People are saying, like, she can't act, she's stiff. I thought she did great.
I think she did great. And here's the thing that really bothers me about that, because someone else texted me that. They're like, the actress who played Sam couldn't act her way out of a bag. And I'm like, hey, how about we also give a little bit of credit to the fact that this is her second film in English ever. And the first one was In the Heights, where she was playing someone who was Spanish. Like, maybe her English, like she's like, well, her English was fine. It was just that she was bad. I'm like, no, but like, do you understand that there is still a loss in translation a little bit there? Yeah. Like, there's still.
Let's also hello, are we ignoring the fact that her character is seeing the ghost of her dead serial killer father?
Yes.
Like, constantly? Like, I don't understand what more you wanted.
Well, and that was, listen, here's the other thing, and this drives me fucking crazy as well anyway, like, already, but, like, the amount of people who, I've heard multiple people tell me that their biggest problem with this movie was that it was the first, this is an exact quote, it's the first Scream film where I don't believe in the killer's motives. And I was like, then you've never been on a message board or at a horror convention, because I've never bought
also,
a motive
more. Also,
this
movie's for you, dumbass. like the fact that you're getting, if you're getting that frustrated with how this movie ended, this is a movie made for you. Like, they're talking about you.
Well, and that's like the thing that also comes down to it in this movie is that, like, I was like, no, it even toss the motive out. Yes. Is the motive a little absurd? A little bit. Has the whole fucking movie, every line of dialogue been like, fuck elevated horror, let's just get dumb and dirty? Like, that has been almost every scene when they're talking about Scream. They're like, the Stab franchise wasn't about elevated horror. It was about just having good, dumb fun. And it's like, and that's exactly what it is. And dumb fun equals dumb motive. Like,
exactly.
Just strap in and have a good time with it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I really liked it. I think that... is it Mikey Madison and Jack Quaid just fucking swinging for the fences, dude, absolutely killing it.
So the whole movie, I'm like, I really hope Jack Quaid isn't one of the killers because I really love his character.
I was like, he's either going to die or he's going to be the character.
Yeah.
But either way. Also, side note, did you recognize Randy's nephew?
Randy's nephew? No.
The one who, you know, him and his sister both end up surviving. He is in Let It Snow as the boyfriend that rejects the main girl that's on the ride with Joan Cusack throughout the movie. As I'm like, this dude looks stupid familiar and I can't figure out why. And this is literally his third movie. Like, he did
Booksmart. He's apparently the son of Cuba Gooding Jr. too.
Yeah. He did Booksmart, he did Let It Snow, and then he did Scream.
So
perfect track record. But yeah, he's the son of Cuba Gooding Jr., so that might also be why he looks slightly familiar.
I love that all of our characters have connections to the past characters because that's the kind of town that Woodsboro is.
Yes.
Like, it's a small town. Like, yes, everybody's related. So for people that don't live in these small towns, I do. I know about 500 breedings that live around here.
When I was doing dog walking, the woman who ran the dog walking company was not from Delaware County. And she was like, I'll tell you what, Delco is the most incestuous place I've ever been to because y'all never leave. Y'all just breed with each other for decades. And I'm like, that's what it is. Like,
that's how it works. Like, it makes sense that there is people related to Randy and people related to Stu and people related to Billy. Speaking of Billy, dude, that when they showed him, I mouth agape.
Yeah.
Like, you saw Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the Daredevil moment.
Yep.
For me. When they showed Daredevil, I was like, what?
But see, I don't know. I would say if there was anything that I didn't like about this movie.
You didn't like that?
I just didn't like his presence. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, I'm fine with her being the daughter. But, like, you want to know what would have been fucking really cool in this? Instead of...
Because I'm starting to agree with you. I have comments to make. Go ahead.
So instead of Skeet Ulrich with this very weird CGI making himself look younger.
Yeah.
And I love Skeet Ulrich. All the respect in the world to Skeet Ulrich.
Hell yeah. Dude is great on honestly, even if you don't like Riverdale, he is the best part.
I would agree with that.
One of the best parts of Riverdale.
This girl has very little connection with this man. This man was dead before she was ever born.
Yes.
You know what would have been kind of funny?
What?
Luke Wilson is who she sees. It would have tied in. It would have tied into the way that everything's
Holy
about the movies.
Shit. That would have been so fucking good. That would have been amazing. Luke Wilson
as Billy Loomis, because she's like seeing the movie version of this character
because
that's what she's been raised on. You know what I mean? Like I'm saying that kind of jokingly, but there's part of me that's also like, no, it would make more sense that that's like who she connects her dad to, because outside of like a couple photographs that show up on like true crime shit, like... She sees the movies where this character is playing who she now knows is her dad.
Oh, that makes sense, but that would have been so fucking stupid. It makes sense, but that would have been so stupid. That's one of those things that, like, if you could explain that in, like, graphic novel form, like it may come off good, but on the movie screen, that would have been dumb as hell.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going for it. But yeah, so.
But my issue is, I loved them showing Billy, but my main issue was like they tried to give him like a redemption arc with this.
Yeah, kind hey, of. Like there's his, where the gun is.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, do what you need to do. Fucking kill this guy.
But see, I don't need Sam to have some fucking dark passenger of her dad floating around.
It was
around.
Just cool. That was 100% fan service. Yeah.
Like, that was fan service. And it would have been like, I would have been fine if like she's taking pills and she's like, you have all of that. But I think that like, you should have only seen him one time, like when she was driving and she saw him in the rearview mirror everyone accused her of being the killer because she's her. That should have been the only time. That should have been. Yeah.
I think need to keep bringing him back.
I think that was too much. Like it's like
the ending portion where you see him is kind of very swing away.
Yeah,
like from Signs.
Yeah,
swing
not
away. Swing away, Sam.
not digging it. Not digging it.
Cool. I liked it. But
that was.
I mean,
that's probably my biggest strike. And I think that like, I think that there are going to be people who hate this movie because of just that. And I feel like, are you really going to let like, what is 5 minutes of this entire movie be like?
I think even less.
Yeah, like it's just like it's. It's a dumb idea, but like it's fine. It is what it is.
It is.
But I love these new characters. Like I'm being totally serious. I would watch Scream 6 with Sam, Tara, Chad, and Mindy in a whole nother situation. Like I like that they really, it's the same as the first movie in the sense that like one of their friends is the killer and like one of their friends gets killed by the killer. But like there's still like the core group of Randy and Sid. Dewey.
I'm down for that. Seriously. And it makes me sad because it's one of those things like, hey, all of our friends are getting older. Like, all these people I grew up watching are getting older and I can't keep having the Sydney, Gale, Dewey. Now, what would have been cool was what you had said where you thought, or you were like, all bets are off. They could kill Sydney in this. Fucking killer. Like, I mean,
well, see,
kill
but that's
Sydney,
my...
and then have Gale is this character that we don't have to rely on in the sequels, but you can have as like a mentor type, like, hey, I need help. I need this or something like that. But I'm with you. Like if we get a Scream 6, which we're going to get a Scream 6.
Yeah.
No doubt. We get a Scream 6. You're right. Remove those characters.
Here's the other thing. If we've learned anything from horror movies.
Yeah.
99% of the time, the only way that they write off a legacy character is by killing them.
Yeah.
And I just want Gale and Sydney to go off and live a happy life. You know what I mean? Like
Sydney deserves it. At the very least, Sydney deserves it. Because that bitch did nothing wrong. Yeah. She's never done anything wrong.
When she's
at least
Gale on the phone talking about her kids and her husband and everything. I'm like, please don't. I was fine with that. Like, I would have been literally fine if that was the entire appearance of her.
I thought that was gonna be it.
Yeah, it was just
For a second there, I thought that was gonna be it until they were in the hospital.
Yeah,
Dewey died.
Which, you know what? I would have been totally fine if that was legitimately it. Like, that she's just like, Dewey, I'm glad that they got you to protect him. I can't keep doing this. You know what I mean?
So,
it's like,
it was cool for them to mention Mark Kincaid.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll ever get Patrick Dempsey back. Yeah, fuck it. Bring Patrick Dempsey back in the next one.
Yeah, he can
leave Sydney out of it.
Yeah, man. Kill him.
Kill
I can't
Patrick
be there.
Dempsey.
I'm pregnant. I'm sending my sending Mike in my place. No, but like
they got a badass ending.
They got a good ending. And the last like 30 minutes of this movie is so fucking fun. Like
so fucking fun.
It's absolutely a blast. Jack Quaid, I am so ready for that dude to fucking blow up.
And it made me finally want to sit down and watch Boys Season 2.
Oh my God, Boys season two is so much better than Season 1.
Really? Yeah,
oh,
I watched Season 1 in a day, but I haven't watched Season 2 yet. So I need to sit down and watch that. It really puts Jack Quaid in a different view especially if you've only seen season one, where he's kind of this, I don't want to say wimpy, but he is. Like, he's kind of wimpy in that first season of Boys. And then, like, seeing him in this, where he is fucking vicious.
Yeah. Well, like, he's also been in, he was in the movie Tragedy Girls, which if you haven't seen Tragedy Girls, must watch.
Yeah, and Tragedy Girls is great.
And he was in a really good rom-com that came out on VOD during the pandemic called Plus One.
Plus One, okay.
That's starring him and Maya from Pen 15. And it's that they're just friends from college who are always each other's plus ones at weddings, and then they slowly fall in love. But it's it's a good, funny rom-com that's totally worth watching.
No, Jack Quaid is, I thought he was great. And what's funny is, like, he does come off, before he's revealed as one of the killers, he does come off as that Stu character. Like, his smart-ass lines, he's like a mixture of Stu and Randy. Those smart-ass lines. I loved his comments about the Stab movies when you are under the impression that he hasn't seen any of them. He did that so fucking well, to the point where I knew in my heart he was the killer, or one of the killers. In my mind, he is the main killer. Like, he is the Billy, and the other girl is the Stu. But I really didn't want him to be, because I wanted to see him in another one.
Yeah, well, see, and like, I didn't think that was going to be the case. I thought that if he wasn't the killer, he was going to be like a definite body on the ground. Like,
we've seen these movies enough to where I knew, but I didn't want it. Like, I didn't want it. Oh, just give me another. I want another movie with him. Make him the killer in the next one. He's like, you bitch, you brought me into this shit.
Well, and I also want to give a shout out to the girl who played Amber. So Mikey Madison. So we made a reference to Frighteners earlier, and she was fucking channeling the girl at the end of Frighteners when she finally loses her mind, and she's just like wide-eyed, crazy smile, just like completely unhinged. Like,
Mikey Madison has the benefit of having a very unique look.
Yes.
Like, she has a very unique look, and I think anything that she does, she's going to stand out in by the way she looks, her movements, her acting.
I will say one thing about her negatively, though, and maybe this falls more on the writing. I have never been more positive someone was the killer by how completely disingenuous they felt about every single thing happening around them.
That was definitely a problem with the writing. Yeah. I don't think, as much as we sit there and know that these movies are whodunits, I don't think the purpose of this movie was to be unpredictable.
No, but it's always fun to do the whodunit. The whodunit factor is
definitely
the best
part. And I didn't
want
it to be Amber, because that was another one that from the beginning I was like, she's one of them.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know she's not the only one is because one of the killers is like 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
So,
but see,
like
the flip side,
nothing.
Again, these movies, the more you think about it, the less it makes sense. And that's why you're probably not supposed to think about it too much. Obviously, one of the killers is 7 foot tall, except for the fact that that 7 foot tall killer is usually the one doing most of the killing when Richie is in the same camera shot.
Yeah, it is really, it's really strange. But
because
you know
I don't
what?
Think
it's
Richie
like you
killed
said.
That many people. In all honesty, like,
I have to watch it again. I think I should have went to see it yesterday.
Well, no, because this is my favorite. I don't know why I love this so much, but I fucking love meticulously trying to figure out who killed what.
There's some great YouTube videos that
breaking
it down,
that shit down,
and it's
for
amazing.
Sure. But I think you have to think that Richie, for a large chunk of this movie, is hanging out with Sam as an alibi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I think it takes him out. Like, he obviously didn't attack Tara in the beginning because he was like back in wherever the fuck Sam was at the next morning.
Yep.
I don't think that he did the hospital attack because he was like back in his room.
I mean, none of them, though. Remember, Netflix.
That's true.
Amber might not have even been at the hospital.
That's true. Okay, well, I think that he probably killed Vince, the dude that you were talking about, the mulleted guy.
He probably definitely killed Vince, which is, I think, thinking back, that's my favorite death. I love I know I already brought it up, but the fact that they put Red Right Hand on the radio and then it cuts off and then it becomes like the oversound Red Right Hand, so good.
I feel like he probably didn't kill Wes or Trudy. Hey, again, you got to rewatch it, but it's like in my mind, I'm like,
I don't think he arrived. He wasn't with, was he with Dewey and Sam?
I think he, well, Sam ran off and then met them at the scene of the crime.
Okay. So he wasn't with Sam and Dewey. Cause remember, Sam runs off and Dewey gets in the car and they take off.
No, that's after the kill. That's when they go to the hospital. I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. When they kill Dewey.
Oh, when they killed Dewey.
That was Richie.
That couldn't have been Richie. Richie's in the elevator with Sam and Tara.
Is he?
Yeah, because remember, Tara hits him with the phone at first when she thinks that it's the ghost face coming into the... He has the Stewie line, you hit me with the fucking phone. And then... Because remember, the ghost face is like, you got to choose between your boyfriend or your sister.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So that's the one death that I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's the one death that doesn't make any sense, because she fucking lifts Dewey up with those fucking knives.
We're going into the unrealistic things here, but in her defense, one of the very first things that Dewey does is list she all of the ways that he's a weak old man. You know what I mean? Like, he's like,
yeah, I've been stabbed nine times. Bro.
I got a limp. I got nerve damage. Like,
which is funny, because that's the best shape David Arquette's looked in any of these fucking movies.
Been. But all right.
So all right, Teddy said the same shit to me. She's like, he looks really good. I was like, this is around the time he was training to get back in the ring.
That'll do it to you. But yeah. All right, let's. We've gone about an hour, which is way too long for a January episode of our Christmas podcast.
Dude, cut it in half. We'll do part one and part two. Fuck it.
Yeah, part one will be leading up to Scream 5, and then part two will be all Scream 5. But yeah, so I don't know.
What's your favorite
scary movie, Dylan?
Fucking Scream, bro. Yeah, I love Scream. These movies so
They're
much.
They're so good. I'm excited.
They're so much fun. I love... Again, it goes back to what we just talked about. The motive of those killers is these movies mean something to me. When people ask, like, what's your favorite series? Scream is always up there. I love these movies. I love the feeling of these movies. These movies are the reason that Halloween H2O is one of my favorite Halloween movies. Like, because it's Scream with Michael Myers. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore these movies. And movies that feel like this. I like the post-Scream slasher movies. I like those random whodunits. Urban Legend is absolutely incredible to me. I love that movie. I know how stupid it is. I know how stupid some of these movies are. Valentine is an awful fucking movie, but I'm going to watch it.
I'll own every single one of these goddamn movies because it has a Scream veneer on it.
Exactly.
You know what's the one thing that I'm more excited about than even talking about Scream?
What?
The fact that next time we record, it's going to be face-to-face, buddy.
Oh, my God, dude. I can't wait to see your beautiful face, my friend. And we're finally going to sit down and watch Dr. Giggles, right?
We're going to record a couple episodes. You're going to take your fucking Camp Crystal Lake blanket and pillow home.
My blanket and pillow home.
And then we're going to watch The Rumble.
we're gonna watch The Rumble, which... Who's showing up?
I don't have
predictions.
Not a clue. Not even going to try. I haven't watched any wrestling, AEW or WWE for about four months.
Let's lay down a prediction.
David Arquette. Yes.
We don't see David Arquette. As much as I feel like AEW is primed to bring Arquette in.
Yeah.
Like just for one.
Why not?
Because in my thought,
they missed their opportunity.
We've talked about this.
Why
goddamn,
are we doing
we're
this?
Get off on a
no, no, no.
Tangent.
We're gonna. We're,
Here we go. We're going.
On this. I'm putting the kibosh on this. Merry Christmas, Dylan.
Merry Christmas, Matt.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.